Hey everyone, welcome back for another deep dive. Today we're going to get into a topic that I honestly never thought we'd cover.
Oh, yeah.
Biblical wisdom and investing.
Interesting combination, huh?
I know, right? So we've got a collection of verses from both the Old and New Testaments, and a couple of articles too about how these ancient ideas might still hold true in today's world.
It's always fascinating to see how these timeless principles can be applied to modern life.
Totally.
Yeah.
So what I'm really curious about is, can we actually find some real practical advice in these scriptures, something that our listeners can use to make smarter decisions with their money?
I think you might be surprised what we uncover.
Awesome. All right, so let's dive right into our first theme, the foundation of financial wisdom. And we're going to kick things off with a verse that really caught my eye. Proverbs 10.4. Lazy hands make for poverty, but diligent hands bring wealth. Now, this seems kind of counterintuitive in today's world, where everyone's obsessed with passive income.
It does seem like that on the surface, doesn't it? But I think if we look at the word diligence specifically through the lens of an investor, it takes on a whole new meaning.
Okay, I'm listening.
It's not just about working hard at any job. It's about being proactive and informed in your approach to investing.
So what would that look like practically?
Well, think about it this way. Before you invest in a company, do you do your research? Are you actively managing your portfolio? Are you keeping up with the latest market trends?
Right. It's about being engaged with your investment.
Exactly. Diligence in investing is about taking ownership of your financial decisions.
It's not a set it and forget it kind of thing.
Not at all. It requires effort and attention.
Now, this idea of seeking guidance and putting in the effort actually resonates with another verse. We have Proverbs 16.3, which says, "Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans."
Yeah, and I realize that not everyone listening might be religious, but I think there's a universal message here that goes beyond faith.
I see what you mean.
It's about seeking guidance beyond just your financial advisor, whether that's through meditation, prayer, or simply reflecting on your own values before making big decisions with your money.
You know, I actually struggle with that sometimes. It's easy to get swept up in the excitement of a potential investment and just jump in without really thinking about the bigger picture.
That's a common trap. And that's where this kind of intentional reflection can be so valuable.
It's about aligning your financial choices with your overall goals and values.
Right. So you're not just chasing returns. You're building a financial life that's truly meaningful to you.
I like that. All right. Let's shift gears a bit and move on to our second theme, patience and steady growth. This one's particularly interesting because it kind of challenges a lot of the trends we see in modern investing.
Absolutely.
Proverbs 13.11 says, "Wealth gained hastily will dwindle, but whoever gathers little by little will increase it." This seems like a direct contrast to the get-rich-quick mentality that's so prevalent today.
It definitely is. But haven't we all heard stories of people making fortunes overnight in the stock market? How does that square with this idea of patience?
Well, those stories definitely exist. But I think they're often the exception, not the rule.
Right. They make for good headlines, but they don't represent the experience of the average investor.
So this verse is reminding us that sustainable wealth is usually built over time, not overnight.
Exactly. And it brings to mind a very fundamental financial concept, compounding.
Ah, the magic of compounding.
Exactly. Instead of chasing quick wins, think about investing consistently over decades.
It's a long game.
It is. Let's say you invest $1,000 every year in a low-cost index fund that historically returns an average of 7% per year. In 30 years, that seemingly small investment could grow to over $100,000.
Wow, that's a pretty compelling argument for patience.
And you wouldn't have to do anything drastic. Just stay consistent over time.
I like it. But even with patience and potential growth, there's a warning we should probably heed. Ecclesiastes 5.10 cautions, "Whoever loves money never has enough." It seems like even back then, they understood the dangers of greed.
Greed is a powerful force, and it can definitely distort our financial decision-making. This verse highlights the tension between ambition and contentment. It's not about complacency. It's about finding that sweet spot between pursuing financial growth and being satisfied with what we have.
It's about recognizing that true wealth goes beyond just your portfolio balance.
Exactly. It's about finding contentment and aligning your financial goals with a sense of purpose.
This brings us to our next theme, and this is one that I'm particularly intrigued by.
This is where things get really interesting. We're going to be exploring how generosity can actually play a role in financial well-being. And it all starts with Proverbs 11.24:25. It says, "One person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed." It's kind of like a paradox, isn't it?
Yeah. I was just thinking that generosity almost seems like it would take away from your overall wealth, not add to it.
Yeah, that's the conventional wisdom, isn't it?
How can giving freely actually lead to gaining more?
Well, it's a concept that definitely challenges our typical understanding of finance. You know, it might seem counterintuitive, but the idea here is that generosity can actually create a ripple effect.
Oh.
It fosters a sense of abundance that goes beyond just money.
So, like, what would that look like in a real-world scenario?
Well, think about something like impact investing. Have you ever heard of that?
Yeah.
You know, where you're putting your money into companies or projects that are trying to make a positive social or environmental impact while also generating financial returns.
Right.
Or even just choosing to support local businesses that align with your values, even if it means paying a little bit more.
Okay, I see what you mean.
Those are choices that reflect a spirit of generosity, and they can contribute to a more fulfilling and prosperous life overall.
It's like you're investing in something bigger than yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Hmm. And this reminds me of another verse that seems to support this idea. Proverbs 19:70. Whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward them for what they have done.
That's a good one. This verse speaks to the concept of charitable giving. Now, while it's often framed as a moral obligation, I think we can also view it through a financial lens.
Oh, interesting.
How so? Donating to causes you believe in can bring a sense of purpose and fulfillment that honestly might be more valuable than any material possession.
That's a good point. It's like you're investing in your own well-being in a way.
Right. It's about aligning your financial decisions with your values, and that can lead to a deeper sense of satisfaction.
So it's not just about making money. It's about making a difference.
Exactly.
Hmm. Okay, let's move on to our final theme for today, which is all about planning and risk management. And to kick things off, we're going to start with a verse that might seem a little out of place at first.
Okay.
Luke 14:28. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it?
Hmm. That's an interesting one. It's not directly about investing, but I think there's a powerful lesson there for anyone making financial decisions.
What do you mean?
It's emphasizing the importance of planning and careful consideration before you jump into any major financial commitment.
So, like, before you buy a house or start a business.
Exactly. Or invest a significant amount of money. Take the time to assess your resources. Create a realistic plan that's crucial.
It's like doing your due diligence before making a big purchase.
Right. Don't just jump in blindly.
Yeah.
Calculate the costs, assess the risks, and make sure you have a solid foundation.
Now, this really resonates with another verse. We have Proverbs 22:3, which says, "The prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and pay the penalty." This seems to be all about risk management.
It absolutely is. This verse highlights the importance of being aware of potential pitfalls and taking steps to mitigate risk.
So in the context of investing, what would that look like?
Well, it could mean diversifying your portfolio.
Don't put all your eggs in one basket.
Right. Or setting aside an emergency fund to cushion against unexpected events.
It's about being prepared for the unexpected.
Exactly. You don't want to be so afraid of risk that you miss out on opportunities, but you also don't want to be reckless.
Right. It's about finding that balance.
Yeah.
This actually brings us back to a verse we discussed earlier, Ecclesiastes 11:2, which advises, invest in 7 ventures. Yes, in 8. You do not know what disaster may come upon the land.
Yeah.
It seems like the concept of diversification was a wise strategy even thousands of years ago.
Absolutely. Diversification is a time-tested principle that's still relevant today. By spreading your investments across different assets, industries, geographic regions, you can potentially reduce your overall risk and smooth out returns over time.
It's about acknowledging that we can't predict the future with certainty and preparing accordingly.
Exactly.
So what does all this biblical wisdom tell us about navigating the complex world of modern investing?
Well, the Bible might not give us specific stock picks or step-by-step investment strategies, but it does offer, a framework for making decisions that align with our values and long-term well-being.
Yeah.
It encourages us to be diligent, patient, and generous, and to plan carefully while managing risk wisely.
It's like a compass guiding us toward a more holistic approach to wealth. It's not just about maximizing profits, but about using our resources in a way that benefits both ourselves and others.
Exactly. And as we wrap up our deep dive, I want to leave you with this thought. The Bible doesn't view wealth as inherently good or bad.
Okay.
It's simply a tool. And like any tool, it can be used for good or for ill.
Nah.
The real question is how we choose to wield it.
That's a powerful takeaway. It's not about demonizing wealth, but about recognizing the responsibility that comes with it.
Yeah.
Whether you have a little or a lot, your financial decisions have an impact both on your own life and the lives of those around you.
Absolutely. So as you continue on your investing journey, I encourage you to revisit the verses we've explored today. Reflect on how these ancient principles might inform your own approach to money. Ask yourself, are your financial goals aligned with your values? Are you being diligent and patient in your pursuit of wealth? Are you using your resources generously and wisely?
It's about finding that balance between pursuing financial growth and living a life that's both meaningful and impactful.
Exactly. And with that, we'll leave you to ponder these ideas and discover your own path to financial wisdom. Until next time, keep seeking, keep learning, and keep diving deep.